Hey guys, welcome back to Making Moves. I am here with CMO of Rare Beauty, Miss Katie Welch.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
I'm so excited
to meet you.
I'm so happy to be here.
All of my friends, Remy, Alicia, my manager, they're like, Katie is the best.
Oh, thank you.
So I told you that when you came in, but I just have to reiterate.
Thank you.
You are well-liked amongst my friend group.
Oh my God. So first of all, your friends are amazing. I love them. And they spoke so highly of you. So I feel so honored to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you. So Katie,
yes.
Give me your elevator pitch about... Okay. Because you're from the Midwest. Yes. I love a fellow Midwesterner. People know.
We are the best.
I love Midwest.
Midwest is best.
Yeah. I love Midwest girlies and guys. So tell me about how you got to LA and got your role at Rare.
Yeah. So I, from the Midwest, went to college in Ohio, graduated, and moved to New York immediately after graduation, and then had a long career in New York where I was working in retail and beauty and marketing, a lot in PR. I spent many years in communications agencies and fell in love with being on the brand side. So I was the VP of marketing for Bliss in 2010. After having spent many years on the agency side, working at Weber Shandwick, which is one of the largest PR agencies, which is really where I met my first mentor, learned how to think about brands and storytelling. And it's really what sort of sparked my love for what I do and for marketing, and was able to find this job at Bliss. And then I realized, oh my gosh, all this brand storytelling, you can actually do it to impact a business and see it come to life on a shelf or in a store or in a spa in that instance. And from there, just knew that was what I wanted to do. Was fortunate to meet the founder of Hourglass and was hired as their SVP of Global Marketing in 2015, and that's what brought me from New York to Los Angeles. And then in that position, I was then promoted to their Chief Marketing Officer.
Amazing.
Aw, thanks.
What?
Wonderful company.
Yeah, I have to, all of those companies
are awesome.
Yeah,
so we can go into all those details, but that's sort of the how I got to LA.
No, I love it. Okay, so.
Over a long amount of time.
And then after 16 Hourglass,
years.
You're now with Rare.
After Hourglass, I was at The Honest Company. I was the general manager of Honest Beauty, and then Rare.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, copy. And you went to Denison.
Yes.
That's the college you went to.
Yeah.
And Denison, is that in DePauw's conference?
Oh, my God. This is like a sports question?
But I think it's like, it's
D3,
similar.
It's D3.
It's like the Ohio version of DePauw, correct?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I'm D3. Like, we need to Google this. Yeah.
Yeah,
it
I
must
think so.
Be.
We're like, is it?
In is the it? Sports.
Yeah.
I think it is. Now, when I was at Denison, sports weren't huge, but now I think it's much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my dad went to DePauw, and we were talking about this because it's like, I feel like not many people probably know of Denison unless you're like from the Midwest,
totally.
Right?
Yeah.
And what did you study there?
It was English literature.
Okay. And then did you have any idea? Like, were you always that girl you're like, I'm going to be in the big city?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was. Yeah, that's so interesting.
You just always knew it.
I always knew it. I always loved New York. And I remember when I was 10 years old, I went on a trip to New York. And then when I graduated high school, I went to New York. My uncle gave me a trip and we went to New York and it was wonderful. And I think I've always, like in high school, I was always very much a pop culture fanatic.
Me too.
I just loved
the magazines. Like
magazines.
People,
yes. And I loved fashion, but I wasn't a fashionista. I just loved consuming it all. So like whether it was reading Vogue or watching Entertainment Tonight at the time or reading even Rolling Stone. I remember my mom had a subscription to Rolling Stone. And so it was sort of this concept of pop culture was always around me. It was something that really very much excited me. And then so when you think about where is that, that's in big cities.
Yeah.
And so I did sort of have this vision of, oh my gosh, I'm going to move to New York.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. And because I feel like it's way harder to move to a big city than people think, especially if you have no connections, you know, like no one. Like, I feel like people don't get enough credit.
That's so interesting. You're right. I don't.
It's a big move.
It's a big move. And I've never thought about that.
Uh-huh.
Even when I moved to LA, I remember one of my friends in New York said, you know what, that's a big deal. Like, you just picked up and moved. You didn't know it. Like, I knew some people, but I didn't know how it was going to turn out, especially to move for a job that it's a risk. And I think I've never been, I guess I'm pretty fearless at times.
That's
when it comes to work, not when it comes to other stuff, maybe. But yeah, I think you're right. We have to give ourselves as Midwesterners credit for moving to the big city.
Yeah, because at least for me, I would not have the job or career that I do without living here.
No.
I just wouldn't.
Yeah. And I hate to say that because I went back and I spoke at my high school actually a couple years ago. And I remember someone in the audience said, can I have this same job or can I do the same career path in St. Louis?
That's such a hard question.
I know. And I know being from St. Louis, people love it. You know, people love the home. It's a hometown city. Their families have lived there mm-hmm. for generations. And I just said, not specifically.
Yeah.
Because you can't, like, if you specifically
you don't
want, I don't want to lie. I'm not a good liar. Terrible liar. Terrible liar. Bad poker face. None of that. So I was like, no, you can't. But maybe, I don't know, maybe now that you can with there's so much more entrepreneurial opportunities. There's so much more remote work. Yeah, maybe you can today. But at that time,
yeah,
there wasn't.
It's pretty crazy how much just being in a room is all it takes to get that right opportunity.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I feel like recently I've been invited to a few things where I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm in my dream room.
Yeah.
Or like scenario right now. Do you ever feel like that? 100%, still?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I got my rare beauty position. I was at a conference and I met the CEO, our CEO, my boss. And he came up to me and he said, Katie Welch, I emailed you and you didn't write me back.
Wait, okay.
And I said, who are, what? Like, well, okay, hold on.
Wait, conference? What conference?
That tracks.
That tracks. Her using TikTok.
Okay,
lingo.
Listen, it was a LinkedIn. It was a LinkedIn message.
Okay.
It's one of my mediums that I love posting on, but answering emails in the DM or on LinkedIn are tough.
I'm sure you get a gazillion.
It's everyone does.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, not really true, but I'm sure you get a gazillion. Okay. Whatever. Everyone does.
Oh, we were at a Women's Wear Daily conference.
Okay. And then he comes up to you and he knew who you were.
Yes.
And was like, you didn't respond to me.
Yes.
Ooh, playing a little hard to get, but you weren't playing. You just were hard to get.
I was just like, oh my gosh, I am so sorry.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. What did you want?
Yeah.
What did you email me about?
What did you write me? Yeah.
And he's like, no, I've heard about you. I just wanted to get to know you. And what I didn't know at the time was that he was working on this project with Selena and I was looking to fill the marketing role.
Wow. And were you like shook the house down boots? Were you blown away? Like, what? Do you know what I mean? Like, were you like, what? This is crazy.
Yes. But it's exactly what you were saying. Time and place. Like, I guess, there's a few things. Had I responded to my LinkedIn messages, hello, that was one option.
Yeah.
Or, had I not been there, then maybe he could have met someone else and uh-huh. who knows the way. It's like sliding doors.
I feel like even with dating or meeting anyone,
mm-hmm.
so much of relationship is just like the present, like your instincts. Do I feel safe with you? Do I feel, I know you're a big fan of Angela Arendt's and she's
huge
like,
fan.
She's so big on like instincts. Like, do I trust you?
Yeah.
Do I,
yeah.
Even with Alicia and I feel like
yeah.
we work because we're like, I just get you and it's hard to explain.
You know, I was just talking about instinct and gut with one of my coworkers, a woman on my team yesterday,
mm-hmm.
because we were working on a project, we changed directions, and I talked to her about it afterwards, and she said, gosh, I was thinking that. I knew that. And I said, this is a great lesson and an opportunity to start to trust your gut and your instinct. And I said, she was working on a project with some more senior individuals, and I said, it's not a hierarchical thing. Like, you have this role and you have this position for a reason. This is a great opportunity for you to trust your gut and speak up. And yeah. I said, thankfully, you're working in a company in an environment that's very collaborative, and we appreciate everyone's opinion. So I want to hear from you. Like, I want you to speak up, especially if you get that gut feeling, that gut instinct,
mm-hmm.
because I do think that's something that you hone. And Angela talked about that you hone as you grow your career, and the more experience you have, the more you develop your gut and your instinct. And that is something that I value so much, whether it's with people or just in day to day of like, okay, I'm reviewing this project or this photo or this image or this caption or anything,
yeah.
and I think, okay. Like, for the most part, I usually trust my team. I'm so grateful that I have this amazing, talented, brilliant team. And they know sometimes if I change something, there's a gut reason usually.
Yeah. It's not personal.
No, no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, and that too, I think, comes with experience, that it's not personal. It's not subjective. You usually have a reason or rationale behind something.
Mm-hmm. How would you recommend someone that is, you know, new to this?
Yeah.
And like, how do you become more aware of like what is a gut instinct versus what is something you're just thinking that's crazy? Do you know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah. You have to. Oh gosh. Well, it's a few things. You have to. It's building up your confidence. You have to have trust in yourself. And when you have trust in yourself, you have more confidence. But part of that is being willing to fail and not scared to fail. And that all comes back to confidence too. Mm. Because if you know, and I think honestly, the most important thing is 5 years from now, you're probably not going to remember this situation or this person or whatever you're reading. And so like as much as the narrative that we have in our head, the stories we tell ourselves, the chatter, like you got to check that chatter in your head. The chatter that we have going on, you're not going to remember it in a few years. So why are you letting it weigh on you so hard when you can go back and you can learn from this experience? And sometimes you just have to go for it. And if you're not afraid to fail, which is sort of a trite statement, a lot of people say that, but there's validity to it. So if you're not afraid to fail and you're confident in yourself and you ultimately trust yourself, all of those things help to hone and develop your gut.
Wow, so good. It's crazy because it's so simple, but the most complex.
It's hard, and especially, you know, it's easier to just keep talking to yourself and say, I don't know, what should we do? It's easier to not decide. It's easier to not go forward. It's easier that's safer. That's the safer route. It's hard.
Wow.
You know, let's say it was you and you're thinking about starting making moves. You could have thought about it for months or for years and never started it. You just have to jump sometimes.
That's so true. You just have to launch.
You just have to launch and just have to try. And you know what? You obviously are a clear success, but it may not have, you know, in part of that, those experiences, those failures and successes are what helped to develop your gut.
Wow. Okay. So explain to me, what the heck does being a CMO entail? Like, what does that mean? It's chief marketing officer.
Officer, yeah.
So that to me seems like the best type of chief title, like chief marketing officer. I feel like I would be.
I agree.
I'd be like decent at that. You know what I mean?
100% you would be. You'd be great.
I could see myself.
Yes.
That's the one. Not CFO.
No.
I'm not a financial math girly. So I just
listen,
want to know.
Hold on. Time out.
What?
Don't tell yourself that. Don't say that.
Why?
Because that's like part of a narrative that you tell yourself in your head. Yes, you are. Of course you're a math girly. Of course you're a financial girly.
Oh, okay. Love this.
Seriously.
Okay.
You know?
You're right.
Because I talk to my team about this too, and I sometimes check myself. And the other thing is, I have noticed throughout my career, some people say, oh, you don't like that. You don't like the numbers. And I don't ever want to be that person that someone says that.
Ooh.
Because how dare you say to me, I don't like the numbers.
That's so true.
Let me decide. Yeah, I don't
let me
like
be the person.
Don't, yeah. You know? So
okay.
Just wanted to check yourself.
That. No, that's good. I need people to check me often. Okay. So what does CMO mean? Like, what does that entail?
Yeah. So it's different. It's different at every brand and every company. But for Rare Beauty, the chief marketing officer is really sort of any of the brand storytelling, anything that's sort of public facing, facing to our viewers, our consumer facing. I don't really like to use the word consumer, but it's anything consumer facing. And literally what it is, so the team is comprised of the creative team. So creative is the look, feel, tone, and manner, any of the key visuals for any launch campaign, product visuals, campaigns starring Selena, of course. So all of the creative. And so it's not just the visual, but then it's also the creative concept. So what does the campaign entail? What does the then that sort of bleeds into brand and product marketing, which is from the brand marketing standpoint, that's developing the mission, vision, values of the brand. How is that coming to life? Then from product marketing, that's working on the product positioning. What's the product point of difference? Not only what does it look like, but how do we talk about it? And then how do we bring that to life? Whether it's on Sephora.com, on our own channels. So brand and product marketing. Then there's consumer marketing. And that's basically how all of the elements of storytelling in social, in digital, that's all of our consumer marketing. Then there's communications, that's influencer marketing, that's traditional media, that is any sort of global communications. Then we have social impact. So then the head of social impact reports into me, and that is a unique point of difference that not a lot of brands have, but that's because Rare Beauty is a mission-driven brand. It was important that we had a team dedicated to it so that it wasn't ever lost or forgotten, that it truly was spearheaded from within the industry. So while it's all these teams under marketing, the most important role of the chief marketing officer is to integrate them all and make sure that they're all connecting and speaking to one another and truly connected in one, working together, because we don't have large enough marketing budgets that we can sort of push out a marketing message where you can see a TV ad, an out-of-home ad, social ads, when you're just bombarded over the head. Like, we're not Nike. We don't have Nike budgets. But when you have the sum of all those total parts in harmony and you get that out the door, that's going to be the strongest message to get to you, our consumer, our community member, whomever. And so it's kind of like leading an orchestra and making sure they all play beautiful music together.
That was a great analogy.
You know, so it is. Yeah. It's like, and everyone, every piece of the sort of orchestra is so important. They're all so important. Like, and it does not matter what level. It does. Correct. That's oh my God, that's a TikTok. But it's TikTok. Totally true. And it's so interesting because I see, because I've sort of been in all those, I mean, not literally, but because I've grown up in this industry and I've been in the coordinator and the assistant role. And I've seen how frustrating it can be when you're doing things when you're like, I went to college. Why am I doing this sort of administrative or why am I packing gift bags? But then when you take a step back and you look at, well, listen, let me tell you what that gift bag is going to do, or how that gift bag, like the colors of it that then contribute to ultimately the sale of a product at Sephora, which is what the goal of the business is. So I've always found it's important to explain the end goal in any of your positions and sort of what the individuals on the team, what their role is and how they play such a big part.
Thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing/time-expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
That's pretty amazing. It sounds like you're in charge of a lot of people. Do you know how many people you're in charge of?
It's like 20. Well, I have 6 direct reports and then they have teams, but the total marketing team is 20.
Okay. And do you feel like that's ever overwhelming, or do you kind of like being the leader of that pack?
I like it. Is that a weird thing to say?
No, I actually enjoy being a leader in some aspects as well.
I like being a leader.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's awesome.
I once had a client when I worked at Weber Shandwick in the communications agency, and this was, God, when did she say this to me? 15 years ago. And I remember she said, Katie, when you speak, people listen. And I was pretty junior at the time, and it always stuck with me. And I was working on this exercise with a coach, and she said, with a group of people, and she said, everyone, what's your superpower? And that came back to me. And it's so interesting. And it's like, yes, I can do that when I think that's why I enjoy my career so far, why I enjoy my job, because it's not about leading. It's so much like galvanizing and inspiring and getting the team together for this one common goal. But it's also why I love TikTok so much. It's not because I like a microphone, which I think I probably do.
me. Literally, I get it.
I've been on QVC. I like a karaoke mic. Whatever. That's for another conversation. But But man, when I saw the impact, like when I got DMs, and I know I'm sort of bouncing around and now we're talking about mentorship. But when I started to get DMs from people saying, Katie, I listened to your TikTok and I practiced these things for my interview and oh my God, I got the job.
You were like,
that's the best feeling in the world.
You're like, I'm in the right spot.
Because it's like you want to be able to make a difference in someone's life feels great. You know, and it's like as much as I thought, God, what can I want to do something. You know, what can I do to give back? And I think about that a lot. And then finally when I realized, why can't you think about what you're good at and how can I give that back? If I could help someone navigate their career because someone did that for me. Because like you and I, growing up in the Midwest, if you wanted to, again, no shade to the Midwest is best. My mother was a high school English teacher and then a principal. My father worked for Anheuser-Busch. Neither of those career paths have anything to do.
Love Anheuser-Busch.
Agreed. Neither of those career paths have anything to do with selling lipsticks. And that's what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So I thought if I could help people do that and explain these different career paths, because I met someone when I was 18 years old and she worked at Estee Lauder. And I was like, will you work there? That's a thing? You can do that? Mm-hmm. And that was when the light bulb went off. And I was like, okay, I do want to move to New York. I remember I had a subscription to Women's Wear Daily when I was in college. You could get student subscriptions. I didn't know what I was reading, but I was reading it. Because at the time in the 90s, you got paper news. Uh-huh. They don't have the print daily print anymore. And so that's when I started reading it. So I thought, that one woman made such a difference in my life. So then if I know that I could have this power in having words that matter, and I can use those words to help people navigate their career path, because I think that beauty is a cool industry. It's a great industry. I also think that we need new, fresh voices in the industry. So if I could help people navigate that, come from wherever they come from, Missouri or wherever, why not?
It's also so cool. Well, first of all, everything you just said,
that was a bit of a ramble,
everything you just said in regards to the mentorship stuff is verbatim how I think when it comes to like when the way Alicia's taken me under her wing, there's nothing more I want to do than do that for someone one day. Because I would not be who I am without her mentorship.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
And it's the most rewarding thing being able to knowing that I can somehow, to some degree, help someone feel a little bit more comforted in their career path or plan. And I'm sure you get that same feeling.
So when I first started TikTok, I didn't know. Well, I started for a few things. Like, I wanted to figure it out because I wanted to learn the medium, what it was.
Well, it's such a big rare beauty is like such a big like thing on TikTok. Like every beauty and non-beauty influencer creator and small just normal people, they're testing your products on TikTok.
Oh, thanks. Like I have an amazing team who
it's a huge asset.
Organic content and an amazing PR team who seeds stuff. But even like when I'm like in 2019 when it was people were just doing the renegade dance.
Yeah.
Like I was like, what is this? And I was testing out I've always felt like, you know, as a marketer, one of the most important qualities is you have to stay on top. You have to be curious. You have to stay on top of trends. And I was watching how my attention was going to TikTok. And I thought, well, shoot, if it's happening to me, my gosh, it's got to be happening to other people. And so then obviously you know that as a brand, you have to figure that out. And the brands are going to have to figure out this medium. And I've never been a person who doesn't go all in. And you know, I remember speaking with a friend and she's an agent and she said, gosh, I meet with CMOs. They don't even have TikTok downloaded. Now they probably do.
Which is crazy.
It's crazy. It is crazy. So I went the extreme, downloaded it and then started
uploading.
Renegading. Well, I said, no, absolutely not. Haven't done a single dance. Don't plan to. Nobody needs to see that. It would get one view. My mom. I was doing videos of my dog just to try and figure out how it worked. And then I started thinking about what we were talking about, how I met this woman. And I'm like, gosh, I wonder if I could, what could I do? Could I put out? Mm-hmm. Because my insight was, you know, there's so many career paths that people don't know about. You think you want to work in beauty and it's like, okay, I just want to, you know, well, I am not a makeup artist. Or I don't really, maybe someone doesn't want to work in social media and they think that those are really the only career paths because those are sort of the most public.
Well, and I'm sorry to jump in.
No, fine, please.
But in the Midwest, that is not a normal job. Like, you don't know that exists. Like, I empathize with people like that were us back in the, like, normal jobs there are lawyer, like the normal good jobs, lawyer, doctor,
more traditional.
Maybe you're an athlete, maybe you're a nurse, teacher.
Yep, teacher.
And, but like, growing up, that I had no idea my job, it didn't exist.
Yes.
Or, and even your job, like, that,
I didn't know this was a thing.
You have no idea.
Right.
And that's so cool that with TikTok now, people can be like, whoa, I can do that?
Exactly. So it's here these different, whether it's product development, you know, e-commerce, legal, operations, regulatory, like, there's so many, human resources, like, there's so many things that if you love makeup and you're excited about cosmetics, you love the industry, you want to get in, there could be a path where you have a strength, where you would excel and you will shine. You just didn't know it was there. And so that's one part of it. And the other part is helping people, like, prep for an interview. Because I think the other thing is people don't necessarily know. There's stuff that people don't teach you. Well, anyway, so I started, and I started getting all these comments. And so I'd respond to the comments, and it was taking up a lot of time because they were real. There wasn't enough space. Like, there was character limit, you know? And I think I was still under 10,000, so I couldn't go live. And so I did a video, and I was like, I'll do some 30-minute mentor sessions. Well, that one blew up. And then I think I eventually got to 10,000 and I could do lives. But I had a handful of people that signed up to do – I just did for a – I don't even know what year it was. Maybe it was 2020. I did a bunch of, and I still do 30-minute sessions, maybe up to 100. I've met with nearly 100 people.
You're kidding.
No, it was so wonderful.
Kitty, that's amazing.
We were in quarantine. Like, thank you. But that's not, I'm not telling, we were, first of all, we were in quarantine. Like,
no, but that is amazing. And that's really cool.
But so from like, just, I just opened up like a Calendly, however the heck you pronounce that, Calendly link.
Yeah.
And for 30 minutes every day for, and then some more on weekends, I would just meet with people and we would talk about their resume and we would talk about whatever. And I remember there was this one woman and she sent me her resume and we're going through it. And the first thing she said to me was, I just work at Sephora. And I was like, stop. That's awesome. And that is huge.
You're in the right direction.
Yes. And she's like, yeah, because she was in retail, she thought she wasn't. I said, let's break it down. Let's talk about what you're doing. You are... Do you meet with the brand educators? You're learning, and I go, do people come in from the brands and train you about the new product launches? And she said, yes. And I said, well, guess what? That's brand and product marketing.
Yeah.
That's also education, which is within the sales department. And I explain what that is. And she's like, oh, okay. And then I said, okay, and then are you stocking the shelves and like installing the gondolas? Like, okay, that's visual merchandising and that's creative and that is product marketing. And we talked about all the things that she learned doing that. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, then are you working on the sampling and are you working on what's any sort of promotion on the window or people are coming in because they see something on Sephora.com? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, that's retail marketing. Mm. And so we reframed. And then she had all these photos also attached. And I'm like, what are all these photos? She goes, oh, I shot those. And I'm like, these are stunning.
You're like, photographer.
She's a photographer.
Videographer. Yeah.
You're a photographer. You are a content creator. And so she reimagined her resume, her personal narrative. She knew this wasn't a lie. I'm not saying lie on your resume. All this was there. She still said she was a Sephora store
associate. It is a language, though.
It's the narrative. It's storytelling. I mean, that's what I do as a marketer, but... She learned all that stuff, and she just didn't know to think of it that way. And so then, fast forward, a month ago or something, I got the sweetest DM from her, and she's like, "Katie, you changed." And I'm not trying.
She said, "Flex." My life. Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, how? Oh my gosh!
No, rightfully so. You did.
No,
you did.
But I just pointed her in a new direction, and she's been working at an influencer marketing agency, and she's doing great. And it just is awesome. It's the best feeling in the world. And like, why wouldn't you want to do that? Yes, it takes up a lot of time. I have no life, as you know. So like, I have the time to dedicate it to it. Why wouldn't I?
Also though, you never know. Yes, you're helping a gazillion people and you don't have to be. And you're doing it for free, which is amazing. But what's amazing about this world is that, especially the business world, is that when you invest into others and you're a kind human being and you expect nothing in return, things just come in return. Like, one day, you never know if that girl might be the next CMO or CEO of the next Rare Beauty, and you guys are buds, and then you do a collab with your, like, do you know what I mean? Or you never know if she might work for you, and she might be the perfect candidate. Or you never know if she ends up meeting someone that can connect you with, you know what, you just never know what doing good, can how it can be returned to you.
It's true. Yeah, God, imagine if the world was just a little bit more kind.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be good? But no, but truly, I mean, I started doing it because I loved it. I mean, I would wake up and I would look at my calendar and I'm like, oh no, you set up another mentoring session. And I'm not going to lie, like, I'm still a human. I would be, oh God, I'm a little tired.
Yeah.
And I promise you, after every single one, I was energized. And
I love that.
I'm also a like, this is also what I love. I'm a people person and I get fueled by, like, that's how I energize myself, is because I love meeting people. So
I just really,
you're the same way. I just enjoy it. So I feel grateful, and I'm grateful to Rare Beauty that I'm able to, that they don't say don't do that.
No, that's amazing. And you know what? By the way, if you don't follow Katie on TikTok, because people, this is Making Moves for a reason. Like, people come here to, I feel like, learn how to further their career with a little bit of spice, a little bit of juice. Like, we talk about dating on here. We talk about, like, fun, random pop culture. But we also talk about, like, how to further your career, how to be the best version of yourself.
Yeah.
And if you're interested in that kind of stuff at all, you have to follow Katie's TikTok, because you give the best tips.
Thanks.
And I just have to say, you know how that mentor told you, when you talk, people listen?
Yeah.
I think that you need to do more just speaking TikToks without even a sound. Because when you do talk, people listen.
Yeah.
And if you gave, like, you do this sometimes, because I was stalking your TikTok last night. And a lot of, you use a lot of the sounds and stuff, which are awesome. And you're, like, totally so well-versed in TikTok lingo. Like, I'm very impressed. But I'm, like, even if you just pull out your phone and you're, like, hey, this... just speaking, like, you don't even have to use a sound. Like, your voice is powerful. Oh, seriously.
Thanks. It's just time.
Yeah. You're like, it's so hard. I get it. Trust me. I get it.
Well, that was one thing. My gosh, content creation after doing this.
Do you empathize more with, like, influencers?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me everything about that, because I'm, like, so curious. Like, what were you like? Oh my gosh.
It takes forever. It's hard.
Okay. Explain.
Once I realized that people were listening, and that not from a vanity standpoint, from a, oh gosh, you got to put out something that's beneficial.
Yeah. And you also don't want to look your worst.
Well, yeah. I'm not young, so I have to, like, make sure that it's pulled together.
No, stop. Because you're, when it's beautiful. Like,
thank,
but I have to
lot,
say,
Rare Beauty. No. A lot of makeup.
Rare Beauty.
A lot of makeup.
I have to say, though, like, I am so envious of male creators. Because, like, I'm like, I would probably get so much more done in the day if I didn't have to get ready every day.
Listen, I went to an all-girls high school, and I think that was really instrumental for me. I mean, because I love makeup so much, clearly my career is in it. But I didn't care about, I wore a uniform. I had my hair scrunchy for 4 years straight. Anyway, no, and you should be comfortable in your own skin. But I prefer to wear makeup.
No, I get
so
it.
So I don't just, like, wake up and start filming content. But, yeah, it takes the time commitment, the planning commitment, the actual filming, like, the logistics of filming and filming it in the app versus filming it outside the app, the editing of, like, changing the words. If, God forbid, you spell something and how normal – misspell something and how normal it is to misspell it and how normal it is to misspell it and hit post. And then you say, oh, shit.
Yes.
All of that stuff, it's not easy. So especially as a brand, when you go back and you're like, oh, can you change that? Can you do that? Like, that is, it's hard. You know, and so I think the most thing for important for a brand when working with content creators is, like, have such a tight brief. Not such a tight brief that you're instructing the individual what to say, because that won't come across authentic. Mm. But tight enough so that they understand, so you won't have to have multiple edits.
You know what I will say, as being a content creator, I actually sometimes, I always appreciate when people are like, obviously this is your content, make it as original to you as possible. That is key. But I'm not going to lie, I kind of love the stricter sometimes when brands are, they're like, these are the exact talking points, instead of being like, choose from this big list.
Yeah.
Because it's almost easier for me to get the what they want across.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as a content creator, I want to be able to ultimately sell the product,
right,
or, like, do what they want, you know?
Well, it's almost like it's a cue from from traditional advertising or sort of working with advertising or creative agencies, the better the brief, the better the result of the creative. Ooh. You're a creative what you're creating is no different than what an ad agency or creative. It's still a piece of content for a brand. So you need to have a tight brief, and that's sort of what's the understanding what the end goal of the business is, or understanding sort of the key message points. Because I found that the better the brief, the better the creative. Like, and you've known that too. Like, how many brainstorms have you been in with about anything? It could be about making moves, whatever, where if you're just sort of spitballing free-for-all, you're kind of all over the board. Maybe nothing really comes to fruition. But if you really hone in on, okay, this is what we want to brainstorm, these are the whatever the elements of the brainstorm are, the more specific you are, the better the brainstorm is going to be. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of in that same vein.
That's so funny. It kind of goes back to what you were talking about with gut instinct. And it's harder to make a like firm, strong decision, but it's always better.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
totally.
It's always more effective,
yeah.
I guess.
100%.
I want to go back to that orchestra analogy that
yes.
you had.
Yes.
And how there's a bunch of different roles people
yeah.
play
yeah.
or forms of marketing, right? Uh-huh. What would you say for Rare Beauty is the most effective? Like, would it be the influencer marketing? Would it be traditional, like, I don't know, commercials or billboards or, you know what you guys do best? Or what do you guys take the most seriously, I guess?
You're not going to like this answer, but it's all of it. Because I've done analysis. Whether it was at Rare Beauty or previous companies too, where I've just looked at, you look week by week at what's running, what's happening, and then you can, you know, juxtapose it, you can analyze it against the sales, and you can usually, what I find is that when everything is sort of going at once, that's when you see the best results. So when, definitely an influencer program, or let's say like your influencer mailers are starting to hit, people are starting to talk about a product, but then at the same time, do you get a Sephora.com email or you have exposure on the Sephora homepage? Mm-hmm. Then maybe you say you're driving down the street and you see a billboard. Then there's a, it could be a direct mail piece. It could be a radio ad, Spotify ad. It could be anything. And because you think about it as a normal shopper, you or I, you have to see something 5 to 7 times.
So many times.
To remember it. And then even think about now, maybe sometimes an Instagram ad, like you buy something like those, what is that, hot roller?
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like that thing, like maybe you buy something that seems a little out of the ordinary, but for the most part, it takes you a while before you make that decision to buy something. Mm-hmm. And so that's called the consumer journey. So along that consumer journey, there's so many touch points. And so the most important, so to answer your question, very long-winded, like there's never one channel, the most important thing is to have one message across
that's
all those
clear.
Channels that's clear. And I'm not saying you see the same exact thing every time. Like, you sort of have to come to life in the language of that channel. So like a TikTok, how you do a TikTok or how you tell the story of a product on a TikTok is going to be different than what you do
on a
Sephora
yeah.
email
okay.
or a billboard. Yeah, but that's the creativity and the excitement. That's the exciting thing I think about brand and product marketing, or like thinking about consumer marketing, is how do you tie all those things together to tell that story in all of those different mediums so that then ultimately
in that language.
Yes,
yeah.
But that they still feel connected.
Yeah. I will say, just as a consumer and as a content creator, like, I'm very impressed with brands lately and the language. Like, I love, have you ever seen when someone posts a TikTok and then like randomly like Uber will comment and they'll be like, LOL, can't believe he ghosted you.
Oh,
and
brands in the comments are amazing.
It's kind of iconic. And it's a
yes.
new thing. Brands
yes.
in the comments.
And it's like,
you know, it's like some funny like Gen Z person like running Uber's account or running Rare Beauty's.
I mean, honestly,
yeah.
the woman who runs Rare Beauty's account is hysterical. She is wonderful. She is so funny. And she's smart. Like, you
witty.
Have to be smart
with
your
words.
To be
yeah,
witty.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. But to win in the comments, what's interesting about that, I watch that too. I'm obsessed.
It's so interesting.
It's so interesting. They've got it. Like, brands used to not be able to relinquish control.
No.
You know? And so to be able to, like, win in the comments, respond right away, have something funny with personality mm-hmm. that's provocative yet not offensive, like, all the checks all of the boxes.
A little bit juicy.
A little bit juicy,
it
but not,
humanizes
like,
the
you
brand.
Can't say that.
Yeah.
Correct. Like, that's brands getting comfortable with creative. Mm-hmm. And it's... It's interesting.
That would be
fun
like,
to watch. Twitter, brands on Twitter for a while have been doing that.
Yes, that's true.
But they're better on TikTok, I think.
Yeah. I love watching when brands, I feel like that is whenever I see a brand comment something funny like that,
yeah.
I'm like, whoever hired that person yeah. needs a raise because that is genius.
They're genius. Well, and I think that's what's important. Like the senior level marketers have to understand that. Mm-hmm. So
I love it. Going back one more time to your yeah. mentorship yes. stuff on like TikTok. And when you have your conversations with people,
yeah.
first of all, are they mostly women?
Mostly women. So I also, so I've moved the conversation. It got too much.
It got too much.
I love it so much, but so I was like, what do I do? How do I scale this? Like, I'm only one person. Mm-hmm. So I started a Geneva group. You know, like Geneva, it's an app.
I heard you talk about this on one of your podcasts.
It's similar to Discord.
Okay.
Or Slack.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so now we have about 250 or 300 people in this Geneva group, and because it's just a community of career-minded community.
Uh-huh.
The other thing I realized in, yes, there was the woman who like first sort of opened my eyes to a career in beauty. I've also had friends who are, like one of my best friends is the head of e-commerce for Supergoop. And
oh my gosh, awesome.
She's brilliant, amazing individual, but we literally have grown up together. Mm-hmm. And so we've been in the same, like we've been at different levels of our career at the same time. And when you have a problem at work, sometimes you don't want to talk to HR. Sometimes you don't want to talk to a coworker. Mm. Sometimes you can't talk to your sibling or your family because maybe they don't know. But to have a friend and have a community who are like also going through sort of similar career-minded things mm-hmm. is so beneficial. So I thought, oh gosh, because what I noticed when I would go on TikTok Live, the same people would show up. So and they would talk to one another.
And they started becoming friends. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they would. And I was like, gosh, love there's it. Like a community version like growing here. And so I started this thing. And it's just been really fun to see that we like had a little meetup, like a virtual meetup last night. And we post job listings and like inspiration and other. Like when I see things like articles that I like or they like. But they've been helping one another. And so it's really cool to watch these conversations happen.
Yeah,
or they are becoming. So my friend's name is Caroline. So they are becoming one another's Caroline. I'm like, I just want everyone to have their, yeah. Caroline or Michael. Michael's my other, yeah, work wife or work husband or whomever. Yeah. Like, have your work bud.
That's amazing. You have to have a podcast.
Oh. And then I'm toying with. I want to do an email newsletter. So I'm only one voice. I get a lot of the similar questions from people. I'm only one point of view. I don't know. I've only had my experience. I have other friends in similar positions who would have they might have a different answer to some of these questions. Mm. Everyone deserves to hear what they have to say too. Mm-hmm. They're just not going to get on TikTok. They don't want to.
You have to have a podcast and have them on as guests.
I know. Or like an email, because then I was like, I want to do an email newsletter, but then I also want to profile the people in this group too, because I'm like super inspired by them.
I think even if you had some of the people that you are essentially mentoring on your podcast.
They're fascinating. Yeah, like I just love them.
Like I would want to hear
yeah.
what questions they're asking you and yeah. your answers from them. And
I ask them questions.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to ask you, like, what would you say is the most common denominator or like the most common question people come to you with?
How do you do it? How did you get to where you are? They want a plan.
And what did you say? No, it's okay.
I was like, there's no such thing. It's not linear. And I want, like, the more I talk about how it's not linear or how I didn't know when I first started or how many times I changed jobs because mm-hmm. I was still figuring it out because you don't know your path. What you realize, you're going to feel more fulfilled in your career. Like, first of all, fulfilled is a tough word because you have to find a career that's fulfilling mm-hmm. but not your fulfillment. And man, did it take me a long time to figure that one out.
Fulfilling, not your
fulfillment.
Whoa. Okay, what would you say is your fulfillment? That's a crazy line.
Family, friends, like having a well-rounded life. And not anything. For so many years I put so much into my career that it was my fulfillment, but that's when you get so stressed out. That's when if something goes wrong. Like you have to, it took me a while to take a step back and put things into perspective and realize that there is a whole bigger world out there.
Like shit hit the fan when something at work went wrong because that was your
fulfillment. And you think that that's your life.
Yeah.
You know? And it's something that I have to balance a lot because I have put so much time and energy and so much of who I am is what I've done in my career. And you could say that's good or you could say that's bad. It's very interesting. It's a really interesting conversation.
I feel like you're speaking to me because it's like one of my greatest struggles is like trying to balance crap, like, I'm young right now. Mm-hmm. Do I just grind this shit out and, like, be, I know I could be successful in this regard if I just grind right now. Yeah. But, like, also, I'm like, how do I make, like, I want to have fun. I want to go on dates. I want to get drunk. I want to, whatever. Yeah. So I'm like.
I did that too.
Okay. But I want to ask you, like, when I'm at a crossroads and it's like, I have a really fun opportunity to, like, go out and maybe see a cute boy I like, or, like, you know, have fun with my friends, whatever, fun event, whatever it is. Or I, like, have a really important, like, work deadline. Like, how do you decide what to choose?
That is tough. You got to figure out how to do both.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
You know, I think the hardest thing is, like, how do you maximize the day so that you can still have the life at night?
Yeah.
Like, the one rule I've had, especially when I worked at the agency, God, I remember this was early, early days. I was working at a PR agency 20 years ago, many years ago. And I remember this woman, like, ordered wine to the office. And she's like, let's keep working and order wine. And I was like, this is where it ends. Like, this is, so I, you know, like, if you start having wine and dinner at the office, you never go home.
Yeah.
So I always had a rule of, like, no dinner at the office. Mm-hmm. Because you don't go home. And especially if, like, for those of the listeners who have worked in the agency world, it's very easy to sort of keep nonstop. It going and work nonstop.
Same with being a creator. It's
correct.
Like,
goodness.
Yeah.
That's nonstop. That's a very interesting, I think, that people don't totally understand because there's no...
There's no off.
There's no playbook. Like, it hasn't been around long enough as a career path.
You don't check out or you don't clock out.
Mm-mm. And so you have to sort of teach yourself those own boundaries. And so that's why it's like, how do you, I don't know if it's time batching or maximize your day so that you have an 8-hour day where you can say, all right, I did it. Mm-hmm. I knocked it out. The other thing is, don't let perfect be the enemy of good.
Don't let perfect be the enemy of good. Wow.
Don't let, I'm not the, so Obama said that some, someone else said it. I should probably Google it. Yeah, that is not a Katie Welch original.
Katie Welch.
No, it is not. It is not. But it is something that is in my brain all the time because you can, like,
good over- is sometimes great.
It's good. Thank you. Exactly. And you might be fine just letting it go. Let go. Like, God, I say that a lot.
Let it go.
It's going to be fine. Like, hit send.
Yeah.
Listen, check for the grammar. Don't make a stupid mistake.
Yeah.
Don't be sloppy. But sometimes you can just, so that you can go
it's
to dinner.
It's not going to be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I find I need to sleep.
Yeah, same. Oh
my
God.
I will go out to dinner, but, you know, maybe only one glass of wine, not three.
Yeah. Do you ever, looking back on your, because I feel like you've had such a epic career, do you ever look back and have any, I don't want to say regrets because that's such a strong word,
yeah.
but, like, do you ever wish you would have hung out with friends more, or, like, whatever, because you have such a successful career, or are you like, no, that was worth it?
I mean, I'm going to say the dating, like, you listen to, it's so interesting. Like, I wish in my 20s I had thought about finding a better, or in my 30s, 40s, today, every day, a partner. Like, really, when you date, when you're looking for someone who is truly a partner and someone who you would want to have in your life versus a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whomever, you know, whatever.
Whoa.
Because
this is crazy.
Always, like, I had great boyfriends, you know,
yeah.
and had fun. And, you know, whether it was like a New York City chef
uh-huh.
who broke my heart. Fun. Man, were those fun years. But that wasn't who I, you know, that wasn't the, no offense. That wasn't the partner.
Okay, so.
It wasn't meant to be. So looking back, but I didn't know that at the time. It wasn't a hindsight. And I think, I think it's very interesting. Growing up, I don't think the conversations around work-life balance in the 90s and early 2000s were happening the way they are today. There was no, I read Lean In, whether you like that book or not, like, one of the main things she talks about is how she found her husband early on because she thought about wanting to find that partner who is, like, supportive of her. That wasn't her. I didn't know that was a thing. Like, I literally had Samantha Jones. Like, that was on TV.
Yeah.
I was watching Sex and the City. Great.
Me.
I was being broken up with by a Post-it. Thank you very much, Jack Berger. But
thank you very much, Jack Berger.
Like, not, there was no Lean In. There was no
work-life
balance business.
There wasn't many jobs where, we were just talking about clocking out.
Yeah.
There weren't many jobs that weren't not clocking out. Like,
yeah.
I feel like, being an entrepreneur,
that's true.
Doing all these things after typical work
yeah.
hours is so normalized now.
Yeah.
So now people are like, this is how you do work-life
yeah.
balance.
Agency and beauty's always had pretty long,
crazy
hours. But I do think you can be smart about your day and not work a long day.
Okay. What if you were talking to me?
Do I live by those rules day in, day out? No. But no, I do.
But you try.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
You gotta
try.
A for effort.
I'm 24.
Yeah.
And I'm like going on dates and I dabble in the, you know, dating, whatever.
Yeah.
What, like, if I went to any of my friends and I was like, I'm trying to find my life partner, they'd be like, you're crazy. Like, shut up. You're 24. But like, what are some qualities I can start?
I don't know. Cause the other thing is,
I can start looking for, or like, what advice would you give me? I guess.
And listen, here's the other thing.
Okay.
I am perfect. Like, I'm very happy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm
you also, are successful. You're happy. Yeah,
I'm
that's
also
great.
Not trying to say, it's more that if you want that, I think I never took.
Which I do.
I was so focused on my career. When I look, because one of the questions you asked me, do you think you can have it all? And I do. I do think you can. I think you have to remember to have it all. You have to think about it. And I think I was so focused in my 20s and 30s, and I was living in New York City. My God, everyone around me was the same way. Mm-hmm. Like, we were all just working and going to dinner and having fun and then working. And so it's not like that was what I saw. So that felt normal. And it is normal, and it is wonderful if that is your choice. But if you want to think about – you have to sort of be cognizant about it, and you have to think about it as much as you think about your career. That's
really
just, that's not written in stone. That's just when I look back and I think, huh, maybe there were different choices I could have made, or, you know, but am I upset about it? Do I regret it? No. Just my mom probably is like, yes.
Moms.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, then I also think, gosh, would I have had, you know, relationships or compromise? I haven't met anyone that I've wanted to compromise for.
Okay, so what advice would you give me going on dates and stuff? Like, what do you mean? Like, what do I look for in a partner? Like, what should I look for in a partner, you think? Because I want to be able to work, do my thing, be
someone who's excited for you.
Okay. Wow, that's great.
Excited for you. Like, shares your enthusiasm. Like, let's say you have your name is in a headline, or you have X amount of views on something that or downloads that you got so excited about. They should be just as excited as you are.
Wow, that's such good advice.
Because
I love that.
I have been in. I have experienced things where they weren't.
Which they should be your biggest fan.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's really good. What else?
Especially in the role that you're in right now. You know, like what I mean? Like, because it's such a unique, like, they may not understand.
Like,
per se.
Genuinely excited, too.
Yeah.
Not just like,
sharing your excitement.
Yeah. Like, genuinely.
Yeah.
I think that's so simple, but
so
true.
And then kindness.
Uh huh.
Kindness, there's no substitute for kindness.
Mm hmm. Wow. That's crazy. I'm like blown away by the excitement thing because I feel like.
Yes.
I always say this on this podcast, but it's so hard when you're a female. And you're successful, and like guys get super intimidated and resentful at girls for that. And I'm like, oh, so you don't want me to like be happy and be successful and get my coin or whatever it is?
Yeah.
Like, it's just the most weird effed up thing because we reward men for doing that.
Yeah. I just read an article that said there won't be, if we're going at the rate that we're going right now, there won't be gender equity or like parity and like gender, true gender equality for another 134 years.
Oh my God.
Isn't that wild?
That is wild.
My friend who's the founder of Chief, which is a women's networking group, incredible business. She wrote a piece for Fortune and I just read it last night and I was like, oh, wow.
That's crazy.
That's no joke.
Yeah.
So in our lifetime, there will not be true. So
that's bananas.
Instead of being deterred by that, we should be fueled by that.
Yeah. What do you say you try and do to relax? Do you have a hard time relaxing?
No, what I've learned, like after 6 o'clock, my brain just sort of shuts off.
Oh, really?
So I just am like, all right, we're done here.
Is that when do you start work / like when do you end?
Like I start looking at stuff in the sevens.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I know you emailed me at 7 this morning.
but I don't like expect others to. I don't really start the day until 8.
No,
sometimes I have 8 o'clock calls, but usually like 9.
Uh-huh. Okay, 8 or 9, and then you clock out at 6? Or that's when your brain shuts off?
That's usually when my brain shuts off.
Okay.
I used to not, though. But I found it's... I have to. I stay on, and I'll... Lately, I'm not good at email, and I have to get... Like, that's what I've got to figure out, how to get better at email. It's just so tough.
It is tough. I'm not great at it either.
Because I spend so much time in the day talking to people, and then you have to go back and figure out when to do... So that, I think, is the hardest part of working today at any level, is how do you control...
The emails.
The email. Because you're expected to respond to the email and respond in person during the day. So when you're stuck in day-to-day meetings, back-to-back, it's tough. That's what's a real issue, I think, in today's working environment. Any business.
So what do you do when you check out? Like, do you go home? What do you have? What are your,
I like to cook.
Okay.
I like to cook a lot.
Wow.
Yes. So that is calming to me.
What's finding like your go-to meal?
I don't have one because I collect cookbooks. I love cookbooks. Okay. And so opening up a cookbook, doing a new recipe. There's a cook right now I'm loving Simply Julia, Julia Tertian.
Oh my
amazing
gosh.
Cookbook.
Amazing.
Delicious. Very easy one. This is a salad dressing that is 4 parts. It's 1/4 cup of tahini, 1/4 cup of olive oil.
Love tahini.
Soy sauce and apple cider vinegar.
Oh.
Put it in like a little mason jar, shake it up. Delicious.
Really?
So good. You can like dip veggies in it, put it in like a kale salad. Uh-huh.
Do you
so
make
easy.
Your, are you going in office?
We are now. Yeah. And then, not that, well, now, yeah, yes.
So do you make your lunch?
Yes.
Do you bring it or do you order? Okay. Oh my gosh, you do?
Yeah.
And is it something different every time?
Usually like a iteration of a kale salad.
Oh my gosh.
With some sort of dressing or like, yeah.
Do you ever order like Postmates food?
I'm trying not to.
But like, where do you order from? I'm so curious. Like, what are your go-tos?
A lot, well, sushi a lot, sure. Sugarfish or whatever.
Yeah. Love
a lot.
Sugarfish.
Malibu Farm. Is that what's called? Not Malibu Farm. That's the delicious restaurant. Malibu, there's just like a quick serve restaurant that's called Malibu something.
Oh.
In the South Bay.
Well, sushi.
Yeah, a lot of sushi.
I do sushi as well. Where do you grocery shop?
Okay, I'm everywhere. So sometimes I'll do like Ralph's and Vons, and then Lazy Acres, which is kind of like a Whole Foods, or Trader Joe's. A lot of Trader Joe's.
Love
the Trader Joe's. Like, how can you not do Trader Joe's when you can go and that whole basket is $30 versus like $80 or $100?
It's crazy.
But I have my go-tos at Trader Joe's.
What are your go-tos?
Well, all the veggies are so good. So I do a lot of veggie.
I love the dips.
The dips are delicious.
Incredible.
They had a cacio e pepe. Like... sauce.
Wait, I need to try that.
I've
heard of it.
Delicious. That with some whole wheat pasta.
Have you had the John and Vinny's cacio?
Oh my god, so yes. Good. Delicious.
So good.
So good.
Yeah.
And to make cacio e pepe is really easy.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I need to do it.
The secret is in the pasta water. You add a little bit of you save pasta water and you put it in at the end. Get a recipe,
so it's like,
follow it. Even the John and Vinny's, what's the famous, the vodka, the penne alla vodka?
Yeah.
That's easy to make.
Or the spicy fusilli.
Spicy fusilli. Yeah. That's easy to make.
My friend Libby and I, she lives in Chicago and she's from Indiana as well.
Yeah.
So we're trying to make 30 new meals this like year because have a bad ordering or like takeout habit. So I just want to learn and like I want to have my go-tos.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to learn. So if you have any recommendations, let's send over the recipe. I'll try it.
A vegan chili that was really good. Crockpot is very easy.
Yeah.
Crockpot. Okay, you know how like...
Talking about being from the Midwest.
Listen, exactly. I know.
Tell me you're from the Midwest.
Yeah, crockpot. You get that crockpot recipe? I was going to say, you know how like hot rollers are coming back on TikTok and everyone's like, oh my... First of all, very Midwest.
Yeah.
Hot rollers. Uh-huh. But like hot rollers... are to kitchen appliance, are hair to hair appliances what the crock pot is to the kitchen appliance.
Buffalo chicken dip in the crock pot.
Delicious. Mwah. Oh my god. Remember those like big, did you ever do those like big bread bowls?
Yes.
With like the dill dip, pumpernickel bread bowl with the dill dip in the center. And
there's
like,
a bunch of like
delicious
stuff around it.
Oh yeah.
So
oh,
good.
Oh, like a 7-layer dip.
Oh.
That's very Midwest.
I love
right?
a dip.
I love a dip. So there's a woman who's my friend who works at Sephora. We bonded over dips once, and we were like, wait a second. We're going to have a business, and we're going to do – it's going to be called, like, Delicious Dips or Dip Something or Dip City. I don't know. We had a whole brainstorm about it. We wanted to be a restaurant that was solely dips. All the different
That's
dips.
That's so smart.
And then all of the different sort of, like, dippers. You could get chips and crackers and, like –
Veggies, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I should, you know what we should do is have a dip party and everyone has to bring a dip.
Oh my God, BYOD.
BYOD.
That would be
kind of
so fun.
Yeah.
Think of the delicious dips. Oh, you know what I made the other day, speaking of, is in the air. air fryer. Just in the air fryer. Air fryer is key. Yeah. You need an air fryer. A buffalo cauliflower.
Oh, easy. I've been making
with
it
with like
too.
Franks. It's very easy. So and almond good. Flour. So okay. It's like healthy, but not like
oh, almond flour. Mm-hmm. Okay. I need to try that out.
It's fun. And like cooking is not, it's not that hard. You just have to try. And like who cares if it doesn't taste good? It's just you.
I know.
I've been your roommate or friend or whomever.
Yeah. I've been enjoying it lately because I feel like it gets me off my phone.
That's just it.
Yeah. And yes. It's rewarding and it's yeah. like, it's kind of mindless.
Yeah.
But like, it's also, I'm accomplishing something. Yeah. I don't know. I just hate the dishes.
The worst.
Yeah.
The worst part about it. But soups, I cook. Oh, there's a black bean soup that I love. It's very, very, very easy. It was in one of the Gwyneth Paltrow cookbooks. So good. And that you make it on like a Sunday and then you can eat on it. Bring it to work with some salads.
Amazing.
So easy.
Okay. You're inspiring
so I like
me to
cooking.
Cook.
I go on, I have to be outside. I go on hikes and walks all the time.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. We should go on a hike. I love
anytime,
hiking and walking.
Anytime. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like I never regret it.
Correct. Oh, that's a great way to look at it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even if I'm like essentially wasting time when I could have been doing a work thing,
yeah.
I'm actually more productive because it like gets me, clears the cobwebs in your head.
It gets the blood flowing, clears yeah. the cobwebs. Yeah, all of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That I love. I went on a walk this morning. Oh my God, I saw a rainbow this morning.
Oh, wow.
It was, can I tell you? So I saw a rainbow and I'm, of course, like you pull out your phone, you've got to take a picture of yeah. it because like pick or it didn't happen. And then I... everyone was so nice about it. It was like, where do I live? Everyone was like, did you see the rainbow?
Oh.
Three strangers said to me, did you see the rainbow? And then I swear, I turned around, I saw another person high-five someone about the rainbow.
It was
like in a world right now, we're going through such horrible shit and
yes.
it just seems like dark and awful every time you turn on anything.
I love that.
And then there were people high-fiving perfect strangers over a rainbow.
Yeah.
It was what I needed this morning.
Wait.
So that's what you find on the walks.
I love that.
Yeah.
Have you heard of the, I think it's Mel Robbins podcast where she says
oh,
like,
the
high-five yourself?
Yes.
And it's so funny.
Did you try it?
Because, yes. But I will say like growing up in the Midwest, it's such a big thing to like high-five, like nux, like do all that. And
yeah.
I do that here. And I always notice people are like, did she just nux me? Like, you know what I mean? But like, I think it's so true. Like, it's kind of like...
It's like a connection. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
like,
yeah. yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Something about it. But yeah. I guess to wrap this all...
Wait, speaking of Mel. Yeah. Okay, this is related to Mel, but not... Have you ever tried the Miracle Morning?
Wait, I've heard of that, but explain more.
Okay, it's a lot.
I've heard of it. Is it the 2-hour morning routine?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I guess it could be if you wanted it to.
What is it?
It's called Savers.
I've heard of this. I don't know about it as much.
I'm not going to say that I do this regularly, but there are parts of it that I'm like, oh gosh, that was really beneficial. So S is silence. So meditation. A is affirmations. So reading your morning affirmations. V is a visualization, sort of reminding yourself of whatever your thing is that you're working on. E is exercise. R is just getting your tush moving. It doesn't like it could just be a walk around the block.
Yeah.
R is reading something positive in the morning. And then the final S is scribe, which is like journaling, doing
okay,
a little gratitude
I have heard
journal.
Of this.
And it's like to do all of those. It's kind of a lot in the morning, I'm
yeah.
not going to lie. But if you like figure out what works for you, mm-hmm. and if it's like just gratitude
what's
journaling every morning.
Beneficial.
Yeah, or if it's the walking and the affirmation, then cool.
The 5-minute journal, I heard you were talking about it.
Yeah.
I do that.
Yeah,
and
oh, good.
I'm not kidding you. It literally is the difference between a good and a bad day.
Yeah.
Like I it makes a difference for
yeah.
me if I do it.
You know, my friend Christina Zilber, the mm-hmm. founder of Jouer, she's the one who got me started on that a couple years ago. And she even has a like a picture of a page that she brings with her when she travels, or somehow she has a digital version of it. It's, I don't know.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah, or maybe it's in her iPad notepad or something.
Yeah, yeah, guys, definitely check out 5-minute journal. It's like
it's great. Yeah, I gave it to my team for the holidays.
It's such a good gift.
Yeah.
What my last question that
yes.
I have to ask you: what are you doing to make moves right now? Whether it's in your career, in your dating life, in personal, what is it?
Okay, what am I doing to make moves?
Right now, like what's top of mind for you?
We have a lot going on with Rare Beauty right now. So a lot of whether it's like new products coming out, new campaigns coming out. So a lot of rare, good, really exciting Rare Beauty stuff. And then I am having a lot. I want to figure out how I can help other people at my level share their knowledge and
Ooh,
scale their expertise. Because it does, you know, as I learned being a content creator, it takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And I, so it's not that I would help others to get on TikTok per se, but there's got to be a way, whether if I do an email or a podcast or something, to share all the great insights that they have too. So I want to figure that out.
Okay. Katie, where can everyone follow you, find you, get your TikToks, all the things?
At Katie Welch, KATIEWELCH. It's the same everywhere.
Love it.
Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much.
This was the best.
The best conversation. You're just wonderful.
No, the feeling is mutual. Anyway, guys, don't forget to follow Katie, like, subscribe on the podcast, follow me on Instagram, TikTok at TK's Juicy Polls, and follow the Making Moves Instagram. Always posting reels, fun stuff on there. And be sure to make someone's day this week. Peace.